This is the Canucks Central postgame show.
Zacha sends it the other way. Pasternak in alone on a breakaway. Deeks to the backhand. Stopped by Lankinen. And great save with the pass. Rebound in front. Blocked in the crease by Brännström. Lankinen out of the goal. Falls in the crease. Trying to get back. The Bruins can't score. Then Garland clears it high in the air. Now to Hughes at the line lock. Shot deflected. Rebound. They score. Jake DeBrusk, the former Bruin, knocks it home on the backhand in the crease. And the Canucks take a 1-0 lead.
Revenge game complete for Jake DeBrusk.
With instant reaction from the players and coaches.
Zacha held in with a long shot, missed the net, rebound in front. Marchand, top of the crease, tried to tip it out, stopped by Lankinen, and rebound for Lindholm. He couldn't get it to go either. Under 20 seconds left. McAvoy gave it away to Suter at the blue line. He'll pass right wing to center for Garland, gains the red line, shoots and scores into the empty net. Connor Garland, with 12 and a half seconds left, makes it 2-0 Canucks. And they'll improve to 2-0 to start the road trip.
Have your say on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks, a smash and grab in Beantown. 2-0 win over the Boston Bruins. Kevin Lankinen standing on his head for the Canucks tonight. This is the Canucks Central postgame show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Canucks with a 2-0 victory in Boston against the Bruins. It's Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar. We are going to welcome in Randeep Janda into the conversation coming up in just a moment. You can grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. You can also hit us up on the Dunbar Lumber text line box, 650-650. And, you know, Bick, it's one of those games where you never apologize for having great goaltending, and that's certainly what the Canucks got from Kemmer Lankinen. And, you know, for all the work that Kemmer Lankinen did, Connor Garland was a Canucks best forward, and it was fitting for him to get the empty net goal here tonight.
Yeah, the parallels from the first intermission, second intermission to postgame now, very similar. Lankinen going to be the first star of the game. Connor Garland actually wasn't even listed as a star by Bruins media. Nevertheless, I think was probably the second star of the game because he gets the empty netter and just one of the most driving forces for the Canucks. So good for Connor Garland to get a reward out of that game on the goal column because he obviously gets the assist as well.
He does. Great performance from him leading the Canucks and Kemmer Lankinen in between the pipes. Let's welcome in Randeep Janda into the conversation. And Randeep, I mean, it's one of those games where the Canucks are not going to be hanging this one anywhere in the rafters or point to this as one of their better team games, but it comes down to getting great performances, and nothing helps the team more than a netminder standing on his head.
Yeah, Kevin Lankinen was awesome tonight, guys. You start looking at some of those saves, his ability to be aggressive, swallow up rebounds, just there was that one moment in the third period as well where Charlie Coyle looks like he has that open net for half a second, and there goes the right pad, the skate save to deny that. And it was just consistency, confidence. And he looked fresh, guys. I know there's been a conversation in Vancouver amongst Canucks media and fans of, oh, does he look tired? Well, not anymore. He got that rest he needed, and he looked fantastic tonight against the Boston Bruins team. You know, they were hungry. They did create some opportunities 5-on-5, and Lankinen stood tall.
Yeah, just an unbelievable performance from Kevin Lankinen as we got this text in from Dom in Coquitlam. Kevin Blankinen. That's it. That's the text.
Yeah, that's good.
It's pretty strong. And look, it's like we're going to chat about an immediate positive in Lankinen, but there are a lot of things in this game that need to be corrected at some point. But now, as we heard from Patrick Alvin, just mentioning, you know, Demko getting closer and closer, it feels like every game that we're going to see once these guys are healthy, Randeep, it feels like the Canucks are going to have a chance at 2 points because of what the goaltending is going to look like.
Yeah, with Demko, we'll see. It's all great news thus far in terms of the last week or so, which is fantastic. But, you know, Kevin Lankinen saying, hey, I know there's a lot of discussion there, but don't forget about me. I'm capable of having games like this. To me, this is one of the best stories in the NHL this year. He's been able to, he had to wait it out, free agency. I'm sure there's a lot of question marks when you go that deep into free agency to say, all right, am I going to get a good deal? What's the best spot for me? Vancouver has worked out very well for Kevin Lankinen in the short term, but also in the long term for him as well. You know, I'm sure other GMs and the Canucks are looking at what he's been able to do. And long term, I'm sure there's conversations going on in every city. But here in the short term for Vancouver, if you can get back a Thatcher Demko, who's feeling good, who's playing well, and eventually can ramp up for when you really need him, and you have this guy as your 1A, 1B option with Demko, Guys, it's a great spot to be. What do we talk about when it comes to backup goaltending? It's, do you have confidence in that guy who's your second goaltender to make a save, to give you confidence? And, you know, forecasting this, hopefully, ideally for this team, if they can have two healthy goaltenders, yeah, you definitely have that confidence if it's Lankinen and Thatcher Demko. Great 1-2 punch. And I think with Lankinen, he's been as advertised since he got to Vancouver. He's ultimate professional that's keeping his team in games that sometimes maybe they shouldn't be in. You know, tonight, 5-on-5, they got outplayed, but that's all right. Lankinen, you know, makes the saves, and they cash in on the power play and take 2 points.
Yeah, they certainly do. And I think what the Canucks kind of, you know, showed tonight was, even though, you know, I was going to say, you know, they kind of hung in there. I'm really curious to hear what the head coach has to say, because I didn't love their coverage. There were some bad moments, but it did get a little bit better in the third. But in terms of the overall team play, I was just kind of surprised that, you know, it never really registered that Lankinen, you know, kind of helped Lankinen out a bit more. Like, that would be my one disappointment. I know they won, and you never apologize for goaltending and all that, but I kind of thought at some point in the game the Canucks would kind of rectify things and be a little bit cleaner, and that never really happened.
There definitely was stretches where they could have improved their play,
yeah.
Right? And the third period was honestly probably their best period defending, whereas the first two, I felt after the first period, the Bruins probably deserved a goal. After 40, they probably deserved a goal in that period as well. And so you can say, hey, they could have had 2-3 goals. The third period, I can live with that style of defending. There was a couple of moments, but they're not actually going to happen. But it was far more in the first 40 minutes, Randy.
Yeah, I thought in the beginning of the third period especially, you saw them maybe kill a little bit of the clock. They were being a little bit more aggressive through the neutral zone, and then they started to eat pressure, took a couple of penalties, and then you give up some chances, but Lankinen makes the save. I thought the second period, the beginning, when Zacha hits Pastrnak with that backhand pass, and you know there's that crazy sequence of about maybe 10 seconds where Brännström is playing backup goaltender. There's another opportunity for Pavel Zacha where he forces a save from Lankinen as well, and I think that was when Brännström was maybe a little too aggressive on the left-hand side. So there are a couple of moments where you're saying, all right, maybe not the best coverage. Maybe you're taking a chance in the neutral zone, but in the third, they did lock it down. And you know, some games you're not going to have the full-on, you know, team game that you want to. And tonight, I would say, was one of those games, but they were opportunistic, guys. On the power play, they took advantage of Boston being super aggressive on that PK. There's two forecheckers up in the zone, and prior to that, the aggression of Boston had actually served them well. They were able to repel attacks from Vancouver, but what happened on that PK was, you know, the Canucks and Quinn Hughes beat the pressure, they established possession, and then get that shot through. So some nights you just got to pick your spots, and you got to land that haymaker. Maybe it's the only one punch you land, but as long as it's a power shot, it doesn't matter, boys.
No, it doesn't, right? And I think also when you get some performances up front, like the guy from Connor Garland tonight.
We
talk so much about how good Garland has been so far this year. And the last few games, it's been the Pettersson line carrying the day. But tonight, they really struggled. Had some better moments in the third and almost got one to close the game out there late in the third. But it wasn't their best game, but it was Connor Garland really leading the way tonight.
Yeah, it felt like he had that hometown game kind of extra gear. He played nearly 20 minutes. This is a guy that brings the effort all day, every day, but the puck pursuit was next level. I thought Dakota Joshua also, maybe not necessarily full-on, you know, the Dakota Joshua we remember from last year, but guys, he had 9 hits today in 13 minutes and 24 seconds.
It's improving every game, right, Randy?
For sure, and you kind of picked that up in the Ottawa game where they were playing a little bit closer together, a little bit more connected on the forecheck, and created opportunities. I thought, even though Vancouver didn't have too much zone time, especially in that first period when they were able to bring the forecheck, it was that line that was doing everything. And you're right, Sat. Connor Garland tonight just brought it. He ends up getting the goal, the assist, really deserved that goal as well. And guys, the last two games, Jake DeBrusk scored a power play goal. Who's got the primary assist? I know this one was a little lucky for Connor Garland compared to the last one, but he's going to that blue paint. He's attacking that area. And there's a lucky bounce, so to speak, that goes off his stick or his glove and bounces to DeBrusk. But he's putting in the work in the defensive zone, neutral zone, and the attacking zone. I love his game. And, you know, you go back to last year and maybe the last couple of years, there was a conversation of, is he a luxury player on this team? Do you potentially have to move him out for a defenseman? There's no way he's leaving the roster these days, boys. He's really is that spark plug for this team.
Just looking at the box score now, this is a ice pack game. You mentioned the 9 hits for Joshua, followed closely by Kiefer Sherwood at 8. 30 hits for the team in general. Many people are texting in about how many shots they blocked. 26 in total. So you start looking at those markers. And again, they were, you know, run of play. It was being fed to them. But how do you respond in some capacity? And they at least did it with the level of physicality, Randy.
Yeah, there's going to be a realization that, hey, the other team, they brought it today and we got the 2 points. But there's also going to be a type of win that brings teams together as well, right? You don't have maybe your best 5-on-5 effort, but to your point, when guys like Tyler Myers and Brandstrom and Noah Juulsen and Carson Soucy have 3-4 blocks, Danton Heinen had another 3 shot blocks, a couple of them very late in that game, a one off the hand, if I'm not mistaken. Like, those are every guy on the bench realizes, all right, these guys, we might not have it in our full-on game today, but there's guys sacrificing out there. So it is no doubt an ice pack game. The physicality, when Sherwood's going head-to-head with a guy like Zadorov and he throws another 8 hits, but he's going against a 6'6" player, that riles up guys on the bench too. So even though, you know, that full-on game wasn't there, you look back at that game and say, all right, the guys are standing up a little bit taller just to be like, all right, physically we matched them. Maybe the skating, maybe the forecheck wasn't able to hit. Maybe the 5-on-5 game wasn't there. But physically, they went toe-to-toe against the biggest team and the biggest back end in hockey.
Yeah, I mean, the effort, the sacrifice certainly was there. And, you know, people are also texting in. You have to give credit to the PK. And that's, you know, where the Canucks ended up winning this hockey game was, you know, they got the one goal on the power play. So they win the special teams. And that's all it took here tonight. Because on the PK, and again, Lankinen was the best penalty killer, but they had some good moments too. And one guy I want to give some love to is Noah Juulsen. There, one thing that the Bruins were trying to do was trying to create that seam pass and cut the Canucks open. And they had a hard time getting it across. They were really trying to find that pass across crease and going back door. I thought Juulsen and the defenders did a good job taking that away tonight.
Yeah, and I think the risk assessment for the most part was really good too. You didn't have too many step-ups into the neutral zone. We've often talked about Noah Juulsen and picking his spots. I thought today was a very, very good game in that respect. And, you know, he was physical. There were moments, of course, that he had to sit back and, like all Canucks defensemen, block shots, sacrifice, and take a hit to make a play sometimes. And I thought the forwards were doing that along the walls too, guys. So, you know, it's not a Picasso. It's not a perfect game, but it did require a little bit more from a lot of these defensemen tonight to say, you're going to eat a lot of pressure. You might get caught out there. And one area I thought Boston really challenged all of Vancouver's defense early in this game, guys, was attacking the blue paint. You look at the shot chart. Boston was really trying to get a greasy one on the Canucks. And, you know, Carson Soucy, one opportunity where it looks like Boston might be able to get a rebound. I believe it was Pavel Zacha, just ties up the stick. And they were better at their box out tonight. Boston was trying to take advantage of their size, especially with players like Kastelic and Brazo. But Vancouver, you know, credit to Lankinen. He had the bottom of the net covered. But Juulsen, Soucy, Myers, they did their job tonight too.
We get a lot of texts about it, Randeep, of, you know, the road warriors and all this sort of stuff, right? And when we talk about it, it's like I'm totally aghast of like why they're so much better on the road. Do you have any theories of why the road record is now improved to 8-1?
Yeah, not only that, Kevin Lankinen has the longest road winning streak, the second longest road winning streak to start a season in NHL history. We're talking Cam Talbot in 2023-24 and Glenn Hall going back to 65-66. They have 9 wins, and Lankinen's tied Marty Brodeur and Brent Johnson with 8 wins. So the mentality, I feel like you can simplify your game a little bit more on the road, and maybe it's mental. Maybe you're kind of trying to do too much on home ice, but the way that they've been able to play and really lock in defensively, guys, their goals against per game on the road is the best in the NHL, right? This for a team who has, you know, basically a 14th place goals against overall, for them to be allowing less than 2.1, now it's going to go even lower, 2.13 was heading into this game. I think it's just a way to simplify your game to say, hey, we got to take care of what we got to take care of and protect the middle of the ice. Maybe it wasn't all that clean tonight, but I found in other games, you're getting good goaltending, but you're also just simplifying your defensive game. And, you know, the power play is much better on the road. The PK has been better on the road as well. So part of it could be lucky bounces, but I think defensively, they just simplified their game.
Yeah, and you know what you want to see is them carry that over. They have a game coming up tomorrow, and I think you know when you have a back-to-back situation, always winning the first one is positive. You're playing the Penguins, who aren't the best team, obviously. I would imagine Shilovs is getting the start tomorrow, unless we see a surprise Demko appearance. You know, the GM saying he's not too far away as far as making a return. But it's also one of those things where you're probably pretty motivated to play better than you did tonight as well tomorrow.
Yeah, and this in a way, it's actually a very good situation. You pick up the 2 points in regulation, you get your goaltender, and your goaltender gets you a shutout, but you still know you have more to prove because, you know, as we talked about, there's a lot of sacrifice in that game, a lot of, you know, bend but do not break, but there's also a realization that 5-on-5, they can be much better. So, you know, with the players on that roster, with the guys in that room, the top line, who has been very, very good this season. I'm sure they're internally thinking, all right, you know, we won that game, but 5-on-5, that wasn't a very good game for us. I thought Dakota Joshua and Garland and that line played well, but everybody on that roster will say, you get the 2 points, but there's a big challenge coming against Pittsburgh. And Sat, you're right. Pittsburgh hasn't been good. They're losing games left, right, and center. There's a lot of questions in that city about what to do. They just made a trade. But on any given night, they still have difference makers. Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Erik Karlsson. So you take your foot off the gas, they'll make you pay. So I think there's enough motivation internally, but also understanding the opponent you have there. Those are some of the best players we've seen in the last 20 years. You can't take your foot off the gas.
Before we let you go, Jake DeBrusk gets the game-winning goal in Boston against the Bruins, a team he was drafted by and spent so many years with and got signed by the Canucks this offseason. And I know, you know, players will never come out and say, well, sometimes they do if they're like Zadorov, he doesn't care, he'll say stuff. But, you know, yep. DeBrusk has been very diplomatic about how he left the Bruins and how he ended up here with the Vancouver Canucks, and he's happy about that. But he gets a 6th goal of the season, scores in back-to-back games. It looks like he's really starting to find his groove, and the numbers look pretty solid, right? 14 points now in 20 games.
Yeah, he's been advertised as a streaky goal scorer in the last 2 games. He's brought it, and I love that combination that they have 5-on-5. Although he gets that goal on the power play, you know, his ability to get and attack that blue paint, score different ways. He can score from a one-shot score. We haven't really seen that so much thus far in his 6 goals this season, but, you know, he's the last 2 games, there's a deflection on the shot by Connor Garland against Ottawa. Here, you know, Garland does the dirty work and he cleans up the garbage. We also saw a goal off the rush against Ottawa with a deke on the backhand. So he's showing his versatility, and I loved it. This is for Bic. There's a little bit of Eric Cantona in his celebration after.
Oh, man.
Just a simple nod and just saying, yep, you know, I scored. I'm not going to celebrate, but you know what you're missing. I love that. Just the stoic celebration after that goal.
What did I do to deserve that reference? Wow.
I'm just saying, that one's for you, my friend. That one's for you. Arsenal won today, so I'm happy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Hey, Randeep, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate your time. We'll chat with you tomorrow after the Canucks. Well, before the Canucks take on the Penguins and also postgame as well.
All right, boys. Take care. Have a good one.
That is Randeep Janda calling the game alongside Brendan Batchelor. 2-0 Canucks win in Boston against the Bruins. And that is your game review brought to you by BC Honda Dealers. Love a good save? Then you'll love the all-new, all-electric Honda Prologue EV. Score up to $8,000 in combined rebates. Visit bchonda.ca. You'll love a good save? You'll love the way Kevin Lankinen played tonight. Absolutely marvelous. And we talked about his performances, how he was so spectacular when the season began, and he played like one of the best goalies in the league. And not to say that he was bad. He just wasn't making this as many spectacular saves as he was earlier this season. It was still difficult for me to criticize him because he was giving you a chance, but he wasn't like stealing you games.
But the rogue ones, like the Stamkos power play goals where he reached for it and doesn't
just
grab
get it.
Right?
Yeah.
Like there had been a little bit of slippage.
Yeah.
But a little bit of slippage from, you know, from Kevin Lankinen to what we saw the last couple of weeks can be rather significant on the scoreline.
This might be his best performance as a Canuck. I have to go back and look at a little bit and consider it. I know it's not the first time he's had a shutout here on the season. Oh, it is. I guess it is the first shutout he has here.
No, he got one against Philly.
Right. So yeah, there we go. I thought so. So 2 shutouts for him now on the season. And
but, like this felt like the goalie steals you a game, which is awesome.
Yeah. For Hunter, and again, you never apologize for having a goaltender steal a game. Somebody was saying on Twitter, he's like, oh, you guys got to be positive. They won the game. Like, what's with the negativity? It's more about
everything.
Well, the game story is the game story. The Canucks didn't play well tonight. Lankinen was great. Garland was really good, and that's how they won the game. But the game story is the game story. You can't hide the fact that they did not play well here tonight, right? And I think this was the one he stole. Like, the Canucks had no business not only not even getting a point in this, let alone winning this hockey game, right? Even getting a point was something that you weren't even really considering how poor they were in front of Lankinen. But that's what he's shown. He's shown he's capable of playing games like this, and that means that's a goalie that you have that's giving you surplus value, which is massive when you have one of the best goalies in the league out injured right now.
There's highs to his game.
Yes.
Which is something we talked about going back to last playoffs when we're debating a Shelovs, a Smith situation. For me, it was always about chase the high, right? If someone gets hot, what can they do? Lankanen right now is consistently kind of showing you a high, as you mentioned. This tonight, probably the best one, but you can throw the Philly game in. There's just been other good games through the course of the year that he's been stress tested. And in those moments, he's come through it. Even if it's bend, don't break, my phrase that I love using all the time. Hockey's the game. The business is winning. And tonight, they did the job of winning the game. They have to improve and things have to trend better, of course. But in the context of tonight, they did the job.
Yeah. No, they did it. Hey, you get the points. You move on. You never apologize for picking up 2 points. But there are things, obviously, they can and should do better. And tomorrow, you probably need to do those things. The thing is, you stole the 2 points tonight. Try to get something out of the next game. Then you feel good about the two games, right? It's like if you get 2 points tonight but not tomorrow, you come back and you're like, well, you got 2 out of 4. And that's fine on a back-to-back, but might be switched, right? So I hope they can bounce back and have a better team game, and that propels them to winning both these games.
There's about 16 guys who signed their name on the group project and said, yeah, we did it too. But it was Lankanen, it was Garland, it was a bunch of – but there's a bunch of guys that are like – yeah, we get credit for the 2 points as well, but we know who the stars of the game were. It was Lankanen, it was Garland, it was DeBrusque, it was a handful of other guys too. But there's a large set of players that are going to be thankful Kevin Lankanen was back there. Yeah. As people have texted in, Kevin Thankanen.
Kevin Blankanen.
Yeah, a lot of puns on the name is
King Lankanen. If somebody texted in, that's not bad either. I like it. I mean, keep him coming in. We have people obviously giving a lot of love to. How Lankanen played and how Connor Garland played, and also just how the Canucks have played on the road. And B3G in Chetwynd was asking us about the game, saying he was busy making jerky at the local butcher shop. Lots of people like hunting on the road, and so do the Canucks. They've been hunting on the road really well so far. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox. Austin says, can Aqua, as in Francesco Aquilini, book Monster Jam for all of May and June so the Canucks can play all playoff games on the road like the Whitecaps did? Road Warriors, right? I see you working. We'll get into more of your text messages coming up in a bit, but let's go to the phone lines as well. Let's go to Coquitlam, where we have Santino on the line. Santino, thanks for calling in. Now, what are your thoughts here tonight?
I just wanted to say that Lindholm and Zadorov, thank God we didn't sign them. They did not look good tonight. They're not worth the money. And also, if Dempo's close to coming back, there's no need to rush him because we have Lankanen playing like a god back there. Thanks.
Hey, Santino, thanks for the phone call. And I don't agree. I don't disagree that the way Lankanen's gone, you don't need to rush Demko at all. You can take your time with it. Zadorov looked a little rough tonight, I will say. Like he looked like he was trying to impose his will on the team and chasing some hits, sometimes putting himself out of position, a bit too eager. I actually thought Lindholm was really good tonight. He essentially shut down Pettersson 5-on-5. He wasn't a hard match, but played most of his minutes 5-on-5 against Pettersson, and it was no contest. The game was very much in the Bruins' favor every time Lindholm was out there. So I thought he did his job tonight playing the matchup role alongside of Brad Marchand, and their job was to take the Pettersson line out of the game tonight, and I thought they did. So I disagree on Lindholm tonight, but the contracts, you can certainly talk about that not working on both sides, but it wasn't a game you looked at and said, oh wow, like Lindholm and Zadorov made the Canucks pay in a massive way.
It kind of reflects their times in Vancouver where Lindholm could be efficient and orderly and just kind of does his job, and then there's highs to Zadorov and some lows. And tonight was an overwhelmingly low. It's not like he was dreadful and responsible for goals against or anything like that, but there's this imagined consistent impact from Zadorov that I think Canucks fans have convinced themselves always happens, which is not the case, and certainly so far this year has not been the case for Boston. Yeah. And now to see it against your own team, like that's kind of what Zadorov does. And now that he's wearing black and yellow, maybe you could view it a bit differently and see the true version.
100%.
It's like when you break up and your buddies tell you, it's like, hey, your partner wasn't really that great. It's like, no, you're wrong. They were excellent. And then time passes. You're like, you know what? There were some moments there that I should reflect upon differently now.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? We are going to hear from the Canucks head coach as well. We'll get to his thoughts coming up in a little bit as soon as he meets with the media. Keep your text messages coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. It's Satira Shaw with Bick Nizar, and this is the Canucks Central Post Game Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Like Kubota, do your heavy lifting. Find them online at DLEAMC.com. More coming up next on Home Your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Jamie Dodd
and Thomas Drantz.
Get your daily dose of Canucks talk with us weekdays from 12 to 2 on Sportsnet 650.
Or catch up on demand through your favorite podcast app.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Besser cycling to Garland on the wall. Back to Besser, bottom of the left circle. Canucks can't get to the middle of the ice. Now to Hughes at the line, long shot, deflected, rebound, they score! Jake DeBrusk, the former Bruin, knocks it home on the backhand in the crease, and the Canucks take a 1-0 lead.
Revenge game complete for Jake DeBrusk as a patient Vancouver Canucks power play strikes to make it 1-0. And for a while there, it didn't look like Vancouver was doing anything on the power play. They had puck possession, but just couldn't find the middle of the ice. But here, Quinn Hughes gets the puck at the point, lets a wrister go that goes off Connor Garland, and then bounces into the blue paint as DeBrusk knocks it into the net. And the Boston Bruins are wanting to see if this is a high stick.
Swayman was signaling immediately with his glove. He thought Garland's stick was high.
Well, it's the point of contact that matters here. Where did the puck hit the stick? Yes, Connor Garland had his stick raised, but it looked like the puck actually hit it maybe a little bit lower down, but Joe Sacco and his staff is definitely having a look at this one.
Joe Sacco did challenge for a glove pass from Connor Garland, did not work out. The goal stands from Jake DeBrusk, made it 1-0, and that is your game-winning goal. Canucks go on to win 2-0, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satira Shaw with Bick Nizar. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free 1-888-275-0650. We'll get to your phone calls coming up in just a few moments, and we are going to get to the head coach coming up in a couple moments as well. A lot of reaction on the text inbox. Don in Penticton says, all the hits and blocked shots don't equal a good game. The PK work, you're saying they didn't play well, Sat? That's harsh, buddy. That's Don in Penticton. Well, you know what? We gave him credit for the PK. The Bruins' power play was 31st in the league coming into the game. After tonight, they're 32nd in the league. Not a good power play, but the Canucks did their job on the PK, killed it off, right? Fantastic. You give them credit no matter what, but it's not the best power play in the world for the Boston Bruins. They blocked shots, we gave them credit for it, the hits, absolutely. But tonight, in all situations, the Canucks were outshot, out-attempted 72-31, actually outshot 33-15. Scoring chances, regular scoring chances, 36 for the Bruins, 11 for the Canucks. High danger chances, 18 for the Bruins, 2 for the Vancouver Canucks. So, and as far as the field, you know, we talk about the ice tilt or who's dominating the game.
Yeah.
The game was predominantly in the Canucks' end. The Canucks had next to no offense on, like, you know, during the game. We're like, the two chances were probably two Garland chances that we could think of that were high dangers, and that was pretty much it. The goal obviously comes on the power play, also not considered a high danger, or maybe that's one of the high dangers they consider it. But nonetheless, when the ice is that lopsided, I don't think you've played a good game. Did they play well in certain elements? Yes. Do you give them credit for closing it out and killing the last couple minutes and Lankinen? Absolutely. But I can't sit here and say it's a good game. That's all.
They clearly like did certain things well to get this result. But they played better defensive games last year under like more duress, right, against more talented teams.
Well, so many games last year we defended. We're like, hey, I know they got outchanced, but it's slight. If you look at the game, like, a lot of it was to the outside.
If you're constantly getting in front of shots and repelling things, you can play well defensively. And again, credit to him, 26 block shots tonight. But I think like the Rangers game last year and the Oilers game last year, I thought they played better defense than what we saw tonight.
Yes.
2-0 is still 2-0, of course, and you give your credit to Kevin Lankinen. And it just, you know, historically, when we chat about things like hits and block shots, they're necessary things to do, of course, but they are things that you do without the puck. And the object of the game is the puck, and you need to be possessing that.
Yeah.
And tonight, the Bruins possessed it for 54% of the time, 13 and a half minutes possession time in the Canucks zone, whereas the Canucks had it for 10:44 in the Bruins zone with possession.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a 3-minute disparity there on top of the 70 shot attempts to 31.
Yeah.
Like, the 31's a good night for shots on goal.
Yes, not shot attempts.
Not shot attempts.
Yeah, so that's kind of where it is. Sean in Nanaimo says, I only listen on the radio, but what I hear is guys fighting for each other like tonight, and that's what it takes to build a really good team. Thought it was a great win. Keep it going, Canucks. All fair. All fair.
And again, you use nights like this to propel yourself into something bigger for exactly those reasons, fighting for each other. Okay, mm-hmm. Does that lead to more committed defense? Does that lead to taking the puck away? Does that lead to scoring chances? Does that lead to goals? And so on and so forth. So, again, you take this in stride. But if you saw this every night, there would be elements of frustration.
And that's all it is. We'll get to the coach coming up in a second. Mike in East Van says, a win is a win. Let's take a phone call here quickly before we get to the coach. And let's go to Maple Ridge, where we have Bork on the line. Bork, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight after a 2-0 Canucks win in Boston?
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
All right, well, I think, first of all, I don't know Finnish that well, but I think Lankinen roughly translates to lanky miracle. I don't know about you guys. The Canucks tonight, defensively, like you guys were saying, they played excellent defensively, but the offense, where's the offense? We had only 2.5 minutes less than the Bruins, and we had, what, 12 shots? They need to start gripping it and ripping it. You hear me?
Yeah, I got you on that. Yeah, yeah.
And I got one other thing, kind of unrelated to the Canucks, but more to the radio station. I hear this Mike from Shirley's, Mike from Langley. I don't know if he's got his locations mixed up. Mike, buddy, you never gave me what you were smoking, what you've been drinking. Hit me up. I want to hear what you're on, because you say you got a degree in general sense. I've got a degree in gender studies, and apes like you don't have logic. Thank you, guys.
Well, that's some listener-on-listener violence on the phone boards. All right, that is Bork, who called in. Let's get the thoughts of the Canucks.
Wouldn't that be a degree in species studies?
I don't know. I'm just going to leave it.
I'm defending Mike here. Come on.
I'm just leaving it. I'm just leaving it.
Just trying to make we're on factual ground.
I'm just going to leave it there. All right. Let's go to Rick Tocchet at the podium, brought to you by Tiletown.
Rick, 7-0 for Kevin Lankinen on the road. Where would you rank this performance tonight?
Well, it's definitely top. I mean, he was, first, second, and third star. Like, he was very good tonight. Saw the puck extremely well. They made a couple of nice, where they faked they were going to shoot it, and they went back, the cross ice, and he just read it. That's when you know their goal is on tonight. So he made a couple of those saves. They're tough saves he made tonight, really tough.
What does it mean for a guy like Jake DeBrus to not only make his return to a city he used to play for, but to also just grab a goal in it?
Yeah, it's always nice to come back to a place you've been, traded from or signed as a free agent. He's had a lot of good years. He loves Boston. He loves the fans, and it was nice for him to see him score.
Coaches usually don't want to criticize a win, Rick, because your goaltender was your best player tonight. What did you think about the overall performance?
Yeah, he played really well. We had some moments we wish we had back, but Lance was awesome. It's hard to, what are we, 8-1 on the road, so we've got to give the guys a lot of credit, grinding out some wins. They're not pretty, but they're not, 82 games, you're not going to have pretty wins, so we'll get out of here and take it.
A lot of growing attention on when Thatcher is going to get back, but with what you've seen from Kevin Lankinen in these 20 games, is he going to be part of the conversation no matter what from here on in?
Well, I mean, what's presented in front of you? I mean, he's playing very well. I mean, he's been great for us, so he's going to continue to play for us. I mean, I don't know how to answer that in the sense that he's not going to sit the bench.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I'm nuts if I sit him on the bench. No, he's been terrific. And like I said, he lives for the moment, game to game, that's what I love about him.
In some ways, for a guy who played sparsely the last 2 years,
yeah,
is maybe this second 10 games, however many he's played, is it in some ways been more impressive than the first 10 because he's been able to sustain it and maintain?
Yeah, I think a guy like him, he always has it in him, confidence. We ran him pretty hard there for about 5-6 games, got a little bit tired. You know, Seeloff came in, gave us some good game, and gave Lanx a good week of rest. You know, we got to be careful. You know, you got to make sure that you get some of these guys some rest, some goaltenders. You can't just run guys out there. So, but you can see like Lanx worked on his game the last week, and he rested, and he's put a couple of good games for us together.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet at the podium, brought to you by Tiletown. From vision to reality, Tiletown has everything you need for your tiling project. See them today in Victoria, Richmond, Langley, and online at mytiletown.ca. Obviously, the coach very complimentary of the way Kemmer Lankinen played tonight. And as you would expect, said, obviously, you know, it wasn't the prettiest game, but you win the game and you move on, and they're not all going to be pretty. And, you know, you would expect him to obviously lean on how good Lankinen was tonight, and said maybe it was his best performance as a Canuck so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
He's had some good ones.
He's been really strong. I like that he mentioned the rest element, too.
Yeah.
Just to have that thought in your mind, right? The habit that they tend to do and have done with Thatcher Demko is run him out, put him out there over and over again, and it's led to some of these complications that we're dealing with now. And they've had a run of, like, an acknowledgement. We've ran him out there 5-6 times, and then he gets some rest, and hey, he's looking fantastic. So it's clearly an awareness that the rest for goalies is beneficial to their performance.
Yes.
Now with these, assuming here shortly, these two really steady in Demko and Lankinen, can you get a bit of a rotation? Right? I know there's going to be a want and a desire to just throw Demko in all the time, but the acknowledgement, hey, rest really sharpened out Lankinen's game.
Practice works. It's good.
Can we get a shared tandem here a little bit?
Well, when Demko comes back, I think you have the trust in doing so. The issue with Shelov's just really struggled. Like, even Shelov's best game is still, like, slightly below average.
In the here and now, like, it's made sense why they ran Lankinen pretty hard here. But once Demko's fully healthy and ready to go here, especially in the early going, just do a 50-50 split.
Like, I'm with you.
This isn't the Joshua thing. It's like, well, you got to play.
No, and I think for Demko, it's perfect because, especially with how much time he's missed, that allows him to practice and work on his game, rest.
You don't have to put that much pressure on yourself. They've gotten points here. Like, it's clear as day. Just do 50-50, and we can reevaluate February.
And especially when we look at the team's overall play, like, they were so good against the Sens when Hughes went down. They gave up next to nothing, and they controlled the game, and we gave them so much credit for how well they played in that game. And there's been some positives, but it's also showed that tonight they're still haven't figured it all out. Like, tonight was not, you know, a clean game from them, 5-on-5, and we'll get to the ice time coming up in a bit and some of the reasons why some players' ice time was low, and we'll go through specific areas and how that also doesn't look good as far as the scoring chance differential. But they're still very much figuring out their identity. They haven't figured it out yet. And we thought, you know, I wondered if the type of game against the Sens where Hughes goes out and they played so well and so clean and they really, you know, kind of rose to that moment. Now, was that the moment that shocks you into, like, this is our identity now? And tonight showed that didn't happen. It's still very much a work in progress. And as that's a work in progress, as this team is still trying to find the level they had last year and hopefully go above it, you could have two really good goaltenders backstopping you and buying you that time. Because so far this season, their schedule has been very favorable. Not many back-to-backs. They have one coming up tomorrow. There's been a lot of non-playoff teams. And it gets tougher as the season goes on. And as they're still trying to figure out what they are and how they're playing 5-on-5, their backbone to get them through it, hopefully, can be this goaltending duo when Demko comes back.
Yeah, and it was a question earlier from Josh in Kelowna. One question: when Demko returns, you put him back right away. I'm putting him back into the crease right away, but it's figuring out what the share is. And Josh continued saying, Langanen's 8-0 on the road. I say you keep him in. What are your guys' thoughts? To me, it's just at some point, you're going to need Thatcher Demko. Just because as much of a high we're talking about with Kevin Lankinen, like, the baseline, if Thatcher Demko's at his best, like, his baseline could match Lankinen's high. So that's the reward, and then the high is even higher for Thatcher Demko. So you have to work his way back into it, and come playoff times, it's going to be Thatcher Demko's crease, assuming everything goes well. So start plotting out the plan for Demko to get that. But it's that 50-50 split right now, because you don't want to I don't want to say alienate, but because Lankin's going to need his opportunities here. But
exactly.
And, so certainly put him out there.
And like we talked about, their schedule is going to get tougher. They have more back-to-backs. They have tougher months as far as schedule goes and tougher opponents. And that's what you're going to need, to have the goaltending really backstop you. And hopefully this team kind of finds their overall game a bit more as well. Steve-O and Sanich says, if your highest paid players doesn't have an offensive impact on the game and your heart and soul is on leave, the offense will be significantly limited. We're 20 games in and Petey's still not dominant like elite players in other teams. Very concerning. I think that's a bit unfair on Pettersson. I think this was like the first game he's had in about like, what, 7 or 8, where he wasn't much of a factor and he was really good. I mean, honestly, the last 2 games were some of his best games. Mm-hmm. I don't agree that it's very concerning. He had a very concerning start. I think he's coming out of it. I do agree we haven't seen the best of him, but I would say as far as Pettersson goes, this is the first game in a while we've seen where he didn't make the impact, and his game has been very much trending in the right direction. And you kind of saw the reaction after the game and on the bench, Pettersson with DeBrusque and Sherwood, and you know how happy they were when Garland got the empty netter celebrating with DeBrusque. But I would say, you know, Pettersson hasn't had the best start to the season, but I'm not sure I point after this game and say he's a big concern.
Yeah, and honestly, you could say the same thing about the team as a whole, too, as Arbutus Omar has texted in. It's ridiculous. The Canucks are 11-6-3, 8-1 on the road despite all the injuries and not yet playing their A game. It could be a sign of a pretty good team, and this is why we keep asking for, like, what does the peak look like?
Yeah.
And for Pettersson, I don't know if we've seen good games, but Elias Pettersson's capable of so much more.
Yeah.
And maybe the bar has been lowered a bit because of that 40-game, 50-game run there, and people are just kind of still waiting to see it. But like, this is a person who's had hat tricks, who's had 4-point games, yeah, who's capable of a 5-point game. It's in there, and we haven't seen that emerge just yet. But he's coming off a 4-game point streak with goals and assists in there, multi-assist games. So it's still going to get higher. And such is the demand. And if you think, oh, I just want to see him back, and I just want to declare it's back now, it's okay to still demand more.
Yeah.
It's okay. And it's not meant to be, like, mean-spirited about it, because it was getting pretty nasty there. And there was post-game shows and our daily shows that we'd have to, like, really defend and lean into him. But even at this stage, it's not as if Rick Tocchet's going to be like, oh, yeah, we're fine now. He's going to keep pushing.
Well, they should.
That's what you do to your best players. You push them as hard as you can to extract the most talent out of it.
Yeah, the bar should be high. Like I said, I have no issues with critique. I'm just not concerned about him.
Not at all.
That's kind of where I'm at right now, especially with how he's played so far.
Well, it's easy to not be concerned at this stage. We're not concerned 4 games of the season when it was getting really thick and hot, and people were like, what? This guy, trade him right now. And we were like, yeah, just chill out. Don't worry about it. It'll turn itself. And
yeah,
here we are a month later, and it's like, yeah, he's pretty good.
100%. I mean, that's where I'm at with it, too. Viking Stat texts in and says, this team has moxie. It has shown a good way of, you know, describing it, that you can still find a way to do your thing. This text says, Pettersson was a defensive monster tonight. He's finding ways to make a difference, even when he's off the score sheet, and that's definitely a move in the right direction. That's an unsigned text about Elias Pettersson. Hannah texts in and says, that celebration between Sherwood, DeBrusque, and Pettersson after the Garland goal was super sweet. You need to see a better effort tomorrow, but good to pick up the points out of a game when they're not at their best. That's well said from Hannah. What else are you seeing on the text inbox before we hit the phone boards?
650. This one is coming in from Ben in Richmond. Lankinen confirmed Ring of Honor, jokes per 60. lots of more jokes. Zadorov and Lindholm got a Lankinen spanking in as the more puns come in. This one, Glenn from Ottawa, a great team road win. Might not have been pretty at times, but everyone contributed with shot blocks, hits, and ground them down. And this one, waiting for the Mission Impossible mask rip to reveal that it was Demko all along.
Could you imagine? Or like even doing the Scooby-Doo one. That was a good one,
yes,
too.
New Mission Impossible coming out soon, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'm always excited for those movies. They're always fun.
I stopped watching after 2, I think. But
really?
I just, not that I don't like them.
They're,
it's just
entertaining.
There's so many franchises. Like,
I know,
like,
but they're entertaining.
Every movie now has 9 versions of it. It's like,
well,
come on.
Like, yeah, like Fast and Furious is like 10.
Yeah.
It's like an ordeal.
And they're all trying to do them now.
Yeah.
It's too much. I don't have that time.
Luke in Mount Pleasant says, I agree they didn't play great, but I'll take the win and give him a break because Besser is finding his game again after his injury and they're missing Miller. Either way, a win is a win. Tomorrow will be a good test. That's our friend Luke from Mount Pleasant texting in. All right, we'll hit your text messages, more of your text messages as a show goes on, but we will go to the phone boards a lot. Let's go to New West where we have Sean on the line. Sean, thanks for calling in, buddy. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Thanks for taking my call. Big road win, obviously. You know, the Canucks, I don't need to explain. I mean, as you probably know, haven't fared well in Boston, typically. And this is even going back into the 90s and 80s. They just never play well, typically, in Boston. It's a hard building, hard city to win in. So getting a big 2 points in Boston is huge. And, you know, and hopefully, you know, that builds some momentum for the rest of the trip because some tough team. Well, they got Minnesota at the end of it, but Pittsburgh tomorrow, the rest of it, even though they're struggling. You know, you can't take them lightly still. Not much to add. Langley played well. But what I do want to comment on or want to ask you, both Bick and Sat, is what's your thoughts on this Saturday night at Rogers Arena, the Survivor Series, when The Rock shows up? Is Sat going to be jumping out of his seat and smelling what The Rock is cooking? That's all I got to say. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the phone call, Sean. You know what? I am going to be in attendance.
Are you really?
I'm going to watch. Going to Survivor Series on Saturday.
We were chatting about this a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Like, you going, I don't know.
Yeah, so I got our fearless leader, Cam, said, I have an extra ticket to go.
Let's go.
To go if you want to go. And Reach is already going, too. So I'm like, yeah, I'm in. So
I guess
I'm really
wasn't
excited.
On that text chain.
Well, you were out That's doing
fine.
Other things.
It's fine.
You're a little bit busy this weekend.
Oh, this weekend? Yeah, I was
this
away.
Just happened. You're a little bit preoccupied.
Let's just say I didn't wake up in this country today.
No, you didn't. Bick actually made it here on time. Do you want to reveal, or are you keeping it a state secret where you went? Does it matter?
Vegas, baby,
yeah.
Vegas.
Yeah, so Bick was in Vegas, and he flew back this afternoon, and he got to the studio literally as the first period started. Like, his timing couldn't be more impeccable.
A plan comes together.
If there was any delay in his flight, he wouldn't have made it, but he made it just on time for the first period. So the man is
dedicated.
They knew. And especially going to Vegas for a couple of nights and showing up and working the next day, I mean, that shows some good stamina, Bick, if you know what I'm talking about.
Walking a lot of shots.
Yeah, you know.
Putting the body on the line.
You certainly did. Anybody who goes to Vegas puts the body on the line for a few days. But back playing hurt today a little bit?
No.
Not guilty?
Back-to-backs, it doesn't matter.
He's like, I have to be professional.
Yeah.
It's like the worst time to go into Vegas right before a back-to-back.
Sometimes you got to play 3 and 4.
Absolutely. All right, we'll get back to more of your text messages on the text inbox, Dunbar Lumber, and also more of your phone calls coming up on the other side. You are listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Find them online at DLEAMC.com. Canucks win 2-0 over the Bruins. More analysis is next on the Home of Your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drantz. We'll dive deep into all that's happening with the Vancouver Canucks. Listen 12 to 2 p.m. on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show. Join the discussion on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Geeky has it left wing side, try to pass through the middle, tipped off a stick right point. McAvoy holds in with a long shot, blocked by Heinen off his arm. That looked like it stung him, but he'll stick in the play. Tried to clear it, came loose, high slot. Lorai with the shot, stopped by Lincoln, and Canucks clear the rebound. Another great save for the Vancouver netminder. Garland floats it up the right wing for Heinen into the Boston zone.
Well, it's definitely top. I mean, he was, you know, first, second, third star. Like, he was very good tonight. Saw the puck extremely well. They made a couple of nice... Where they were going to shoot it. They're going to shoot, and they went back, you know, the cross ice, and he just read it. That's when you know their goal is on tonight. So he made a couple of those saves. They're tough saves he made tonight. Really tough.
Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet, very complimentary of his netminder tonight, Kevin Lankinen, standing on his head, making all 33 saves to blank the Bruins, a 2-0 Canucks win on the road in Boston. The Canucks continue to be red hot on the road, winning their 8th straight road game. And this is the Canucks Central Post Game Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar. And as always, keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650. Now, before we go to the phone lines, let's hit a couple of text messages here before we go to the phone boards. A lot of reaction, obviously, on the way Kemi Lankinen played here tonight. And Chris from Maple Ridge says, Lanky owed owned this game, loaded every Canuck player on his back, and then proceeds to masterfully put a clinic on goaltending-wise and produces a shutout. By far, Lanky's best game as a Canuck. Let Demmer rest, is from Chris in Maple Ridge.
Yeah, that's kind of the sentiment as well from Greg in Langley. Don't assume Demko is going to come back and be Superman. He's a really good goaltender, but he could come back and struggle. He has no training camp or games that mean anything for months and months. And yeah, it's a lot of people texting in just the idea that they want to see a platoon here. And Kevin Lankinen keeps playing like this. The sterling results. Earning his share of time in the crease.
Yeah, and Glenn from Ottawa says, comment, not comment, very good. I don't there like the comments. Yeah. A great team road win. Might not have been pretty at times, but everyone contributed with shot blocks, hits, and ground them down. I'm laying in bed with COVID and probably still have fewer body aches than most of the Canuck players have tonight. That's Glenn from Ottawa. Be well. Get better, Glenn. I hope you feel better soon. It's not a fun feeling being sick with COVID, but hopefully you get through it soon and you're back to being yourself. But he might be right. The body aches from all those block shots, a number of them. You do wonder, like, you know, is that going to make them pretty sore for tomorrow, or do you see them bouncing back? And I would say, I don't know if, and I'm not trying to say blocking shots doesn't hurt, but I will give the Canucks a lot of credit for how they block shots too. Like, you're not seeing them, you know, throw limbs out and hitting their arms
in position, right? It's similar to what Rick Tocchet was talking about with Lankinen there.
Yes.
Getting across early and absorbing those pucks, right?
Yeah.
You're in the right spot. Like the one Brännström had was a great example on McAvoy, because McAvoy steps into it. But there's Brännström in his spot, just outside the post, up near the hash marks, and just pushing out towards McAvoy and being brave about it, right? Like, gets down to the knee, makes himself as big as possible, protects himself in wherever he can, and just eats one. Those are the ones that are inspiring, that makes the other guys want to do it. Eric Brännström was doing it. I got to do it.
For sure. And the Canucks did a good job, too, closing. You know, Brett Festerling often talks about fronting the players. And they've done a really good job of doing that. And also, when you see a lot of their block shots, they end up going off their shins and they get their sticks in lanes as well as far as getting those block shots. So they do a really good job with their technique blocking shots. I mean, they work on as a team. So a real positive side there for the Canucks this evening. We'll get to some of more of your thoughts here on the text inbox. But let's go back to the phone boards and let's go to Vancouver, where we have Will on the line. Will, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts after a 2-0 win in Boston?
Hey guys, can you hear me well?
Yeah, we got you, buddy.
I mean, it wasn't the prettiest, but I'll take it. I think, as you guys said, lots of shot blocks and stuff. So I was pretty happy with it overall, and obviously good for Lankinen to get a shutout. I wanted to ask, though, about the statement that Alvin released today, because I didn't really kind of get it. Did Miller go into a player assistance program? Because I didn't see anything about that. So I'm just kind of wondering when his timeline is, if he's coming back on the home trip in December. And the second thing I wanted to say was, we got some pretty good top nine forwards going with Sherwood, Petey, and DeBrusque. If Miller comes back, I think they're going to be pretty dangerous. But do you think they'll add another piece maybe at the deadline for someone to play with Miller and Besser? Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks for the phone call. Good thoughts there, Will. We are going to play back what Alvin had to say. He did meet with Dan Murphy during intermission, so we'll play that as a few minutes, and he gets into the JT Miller thing. So to the first part of the question, before we get to the trade stuff, the players assistance program, I'm not going to get into details of what it always entails, but it usually means it's beyond just, it goes beyond just a mental health issue. Sometimes, not always, could be addiction and other things. And when you get into the program, it's not like, hey, you're in for a few days and you're out. It's a longer term period and a longer timeline for it. So I think a reason why he's not in it doesn't seem like he's gotten to the point yet where he needs a longer, I wouldn't say intervention, so to speak, but something longer and more comprehensive. We've seen a situation before when a player is away for, say, mental health. Jonathan Drouin with the Montreal Canadiens, he went on IR and then LTIR, and he never went to the program, but he was dealing with a mental health issue. So that falls into that same category, I'd say, where he's dealing with something, obviously, but it's not at the level or not to the degree that you would go into the player's assistance program. And it's very difficult to talk about it intelligently without knowing all the details here. But I would, the best way I can answer that question is, JT's issues are not at the nature where he has to be in the program, at least not at this stage of the situation.
As far as the second half of that question, if they're in the right spots in the playoffs, like we saw last year, they were willing to go and be aggressive to go get a Lindholm. And part of the structure of their roster construction this year is accruing cap space. Now, it's a little bit bloated right now because they're keeping a few extra guys on with JT Miller's absence, so he's not removed from the salary cap. It tolls daily on that, so it's taken away some of the potential out of it. But they were accruing cap space all along, and it was opening up space that, with the right transactions down the road, like Shelov's going down, and obviously your pairing would be Demko and Lankinen, and that would save you a little bit of money. Could you bring up someone else on a cheaper deal elsewhere on the roster? But there was a conceivable way that they could clear up about $7 million, $8 million of cap space, which would put you in the realm for pretty much every player in the league that's believable to be shot by the deadline. So they were going to have a lot of purchasing power come trade deadline. If everything trends the way it is right now, obviously they need to improve their play because right now they're sitting around third in the division right now. But if it does improve, like, you would certainly expect this management group to be aggressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something I would expect. And, you know, as far as Alvin goes, because, you know, Will brought up the question about Miller, Alvin met with Dan Murphy, and it's only a few minutes long, but he gets into the situation with JT Miller, and also what's going on with Thatcher Demko and where the Canucks are at as far as their overall team play. Here is Patrick Alvin this evening with Dan Murphy.
You spoke with Ian McIntyre recently, and there's no update on JT's return, but you did say that the team obviously misses him and you're proud of him.
Yeah, we definitely miss JT Miller. He's a big part of our team and a great player. I'm proud of him for reaching out to get the help, and we're here to support him.
Hope to see him back really soon. Now, Thatcher Demko, watched him at practice yesterday, went through the whole practice, dynamic movements, all the drills. What's the final hurdle for him to return? Is it basically him just saying, I'm ready?
Yeah, definitely. I think he feels that he needs a couple of more reps here to get in to the rhythm. Tough when we don't have many practices here, playing a lot of games. So we're just going to be patient. I mean, he's been working so hard, and again, showing how committed it is to come back to play for the Canucks and play for his teammates. I don't envision that far away. He looks good to me in practice.
So your main priority is to take care of the product on the ice, put the best product out there. But this year you guys have had so many things off the ice, from Thatcher's, you know, ongoing recovery. You had the Dakota Joshua diagnosis. Forbert needed some time away. Besser, the ugly concussion. Miller now leave of absence. As a manager, how much different are managing those types of issues? Because the players are human too, especially the teammates that see it all.
Definitely. I think every team goes through different challenges or facing adversity with injuries at some part during the year. Or next man up mentality and next game mentality. I'm very happy to see the young players coming in and playing for us. We wanted to create internal competition. The players down in Abbotsford are taking steps, and they've proven to us that they're ready to come up and play whenever they're called upon.
I'm going to paraphrase your head coach here, but I think he's basically said that you guys haven't been able to manage the game as well so far this season as last season. There's a lot of variables because of that. Would you agree with that statement? And if you've seen signs that this team is getting back to that identity they really established last season?
I agree on that. Part of it, I don't think we were humble enough starting. We want to play a structured hockey. We want to play to our identity. We want to play fast, and we want to play connected. We had a lot of new players that it took a little bit longer than we maybe anticipated to get the fit with them. But over the last 10 games, our 5-on-5 play has been better. I think we just got to be patient and stick with it and be part of those, as of now, the first period here, a low event where you just got to hang in, you're going to be detailed, and you're ready to play when an opportunity comes to you.
Final one for me. You say you're always looking for players who have a next level. You're looking to find players that have another level to get to. And Kiefer Sherwood is a guy you guys targeted, your pro scouts. How happy have you been with what he's brought to this team?
I think it doesn't really matter what line you play Keita Sherbert on. He plays the same way. He plays north, he plays direct, he plays with speed, and just a passionate person and player to be around. So he's definitely making us a better team.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Best of luck on this road trip and with the rest of the season.
Thank you very much.
That is Patrick Alvin with Dan Murphy from the TV broadcast tonight. Canucks beating the Bruins 2-0. He was chatting between intermissions. And, you know, on the JT stuff, as we mentioned, you heard him there kind of talk about how he's proud of JT for taking the step to get help. And like I mentioned during the show before on Canucks Central today, the best thing you can do as a teammate is help yourself before you help the team. And I think he's at a point now where he takes care of himself. He'll be even better for his teammates when he comes back. But most importantly, for his own personal life, that's what you want to see him take care of business. And hopefully everything's going to be okay with him. And like I mentioned on the show, I'd be very careful to put any timeline on JT's return. Obviously, this is not something that is expected to go very long and all year or anything. But I would be careful to add a date that I don't know if he plays the first game back when the Canucks return from their road trip. So just be patient on when he does come back. The other part he mentions was on Thatcher Demko and how close he looks. And I know there's been questions and comments about when he's going to play and whether a conditioning assignment could even be, you know, something that he should consider. I know that, you know, obviously the player has to agree to do it, especially veterans, to go down to the conditioning assignment. As far as goalies go, I've heard mixed things when asking goalie guys about a player coming back from injury. Is it better for him to wet his feet playing in the AHL first? And some of it is like, okay, yeah, it's positive to do. But others kind of told me it's a pretty chaotic environment. And for first game back off an injury, do you want to put a goalie into a chaotic situation, go post to post a lot? And, you know, it's a bit more unpredictable. It's a bit more controlled than the NHL. So I think there are also some drawbacks to doing it. It's not just, hey, go down and play it, everything's going to be okay.
And especially, as we mentioned, like, that's why the workload to me is such an interesting conversation. With Lankinen's success so far, you can ease your way and stretch the recovery plan here. That could you do this over the course of 6 weeks, right? Rather than a 2-week sprint of a conditioning stint and have that recovery to get up to game speed. Could you do it over the course of 6 weeks? Because you have the time, because the other goalie that's going in is going to be Kevin Lankinen, who's been sparkling so far this year. So having that level of reassurance that what happens in between the pipes is going to be consistent and solid, to me, is the feature, not a bug. And it just allows Thatcher Demko to come along at his own progress.
Yeah, it really does. And hopefully he's going to be able to really find that game he showed prior, but you don't know where it's going to be at. It's going to be something that you have to kind of feel out and take some time to see where he's at before we can make any proclamations of where his game's at. But the way Lankinen's gone, it takes away the pressure, because the way Shilovs has gone, and I would imagine we see Shilovs tomorrow, like, there's been a big discrepancy between these two goalies. Like, Shilovs' save percentage this year is .857. You know, it gets, you know,
that's like really low.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously you look at Lankinen, and it's almost 60 points higher, you know. So it's one of those things where it's a clear discrepancy between the goalies, but the way Lankinen's gone, it takes away a lot of the pressure to have to force Demko into a tough situation or overplay him early on until he really finds his game. What else are you seeing in the text inbox, Pick?
650. This one, spiritual advisor, do the Canucks deserve to win this game? Yes or no answer. I think we would both say no as far as deserve. You know, again, you
deserve
to
win the game. I mean,
you earn what you deserve.
Okay. The way I would say it is, I don't think the Canucks from a team game perspective played well enough to win tonight. But if you have the best player in the game, do you not deserve to win?
Sure. Okay, you know what? I'll change my answer to that.
So I would say, because Lankinen tonight was the best player on the ice.
100%. This one, Ryan in Maple Ridge, Zadorov, very notable today. Hope to see him in Canucks colors again. We're getting some different thoughts. We spoke earlier about Zadorov. A couple other people texting that they thought Zadorov was good, including Mike in Surrey, who had the hockey stat cards for us, saying that Zadorov was the Bruins' best player in the game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he had good. I mean, listen.
Differing perspectives. We're here for it.
The Bruins, obviously, every single line the Bruins had won their matchups tonight. Every single player the Bruins had was in the black as far as the shot metrics go tonight. There was one Bruins player tonight, Mark McLaughlin, who played .936, who was under 50% as far as the shot differential and as far as the expected goals differential. It was all positive. Like, again, like, there wasn't a single player outside of one or two that had a negative expected goals one as well, which tells you there wasn't a bad game for any Bruins player, but I thought Zadorov had some good moments, but he had some moments where he was forcing things, and I thought he kind of exposed himself, and had the Canucks been playing better, could have taken advantage of it. So I don't know if the stats tell the story of how good he was, but I don't think he was bad by any means.
And
but
this was a... Sorry, go ahead.
But it was a Zadorov game. Some good, some bad, like, you know.
This was such a three-line game, too.
Yeah.
Beecher, McLaughlin, and Cole Koepke, each playing under 10 minutes, including Mark Kastlik as well. And then Hoglander and Baines, each at 7 minutes. 7 minutes and 40 for Hoglander, 7:10 for Archie Baines, and then Atu Ratu at 9:29.
Well, Raymond texted in about is it back to trade rumors for Hoglander? I don't know about that, but we can talk about Hoglander and the lineup and what's coming up tomorrow when the Canucks take on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Plus, IMAC joins us as the Canucks Central postgame show continues, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
It's Canucks Central with Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah, your destination for everything Canucks. Exclusive interviews, inside info, and even the postgame show. Listen 4 to 6 p.m. weekdays and on demand through your favorite podcast app.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central postgame show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Lindholm wins the draw. Comes back to McAvoy at the line. Left point, Lauri, long shot. Missed wide of the net. Deflects around the near boards. Joshua finds it, clears to the line. Saka held in with a long shot. Missed the net. Rebound in front. Marchand, top of the crease. Tried to tip it out. Stopped by Lankin. And rebound for Lindholm. He couldn't get it to go either. Under 20 seconds left. McAvoy gave it away to Suter at the blue line. He'll pass right wing to center for Garland. Gains the red line. Shoots and scores into the empty net. Connor Garland with 12 and a half seconds left. Makes it 2-0 Canucks, and they'll improve to 2-0 to start the road trip.
Kevin Lankinen won't get an assist on this goal, but he should. A couple of big saves in tight. First on Marchand, and then Lindholm with the follow-up. Couldn't beat Lankinen either. And Connor Garland has been all over the ice tonight. Offensive zone, defensive zone, all effort all the time. The Scituate, Massachusetts native, 40 minutes away from Boston. The local deserves that goal to make it 2-0.
Connor Garland, Canucks' best skater tonight. Lankinen, their best player. And the Canucks come out 2-0 over the Boston Bruins. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar. Keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox 650-650. IMAC is going to join us in a bit from Boston. Plus, we'll play some thoughts from Kevin Lankinen coming up in a few moments. Freddie said this text message in, and he says, summary after 20 games, only 2 points behind last year's pace. Their best season in over 10 years. However, 17 less goals and 11 more goals against. Your thoughts? And it's a good point. I mean, the Canucks last year at this point were 13-6-1 after 20 games. This year they're 11-6-3. 27 points last year, 25 points this year. Now, the pace on that is pretty different. The Canucks are on pace for almost 103 points. So obviously not the same pace as last year, because last year they were on pace for 110 points. So still like an 7 to 8 point differential by the end of the season, which is not insignificant, right? It's, you know, it's still like 3.5 wins, but it shows you they're not that far off. And the reason I think there has been a bit more concern about the Canucks is, like he mentions, they're not scoring as many goals. They're giving up more goals. They've had some bad performances, but overall it hasn't really hurt them in the standings.
I like the disparity though, in the goal differential though. They were plus 29.
Yeah.
And now they're plus one, right? So that's a big gap from where they were to where they are now. And, you know, goal differential is a nice measure to just say where a team is trending. And if you just look at the league order of goal differential, because remember last year the Canucks were sending five players to the All-Star game, right? Guys were having big, big years. On goal differential, they're like middle of the pack. And that's not where they were last year. They were pace in the league at the early part.
For sure. I mean, Imran from Richmond asks, are you guys comfortable with this performance as a team's floor considering the final result?
It's a great question.
Because I think the floor right now is worse than it was last year, because I think the floor was better. So I think it can improve. So I'm not comfortable with it, but because of, again, their record, it allows them to figure this out without having to play catch-up. The Canucks are not in duress, and I know the schedule has them in the toughest, which helps them be where they're at. But, yeah, I don't feel very comfortable with their overall game. in many aspects, but I'm not concerned or worried long-term quite yet because you have time to figure a lot of these things out. But I think the floor does have to rise because, again, when you have two high danger chances in all situations, including power plays in a game, and even if you did some good things defensively, like that to me is like, that's not a good floor. You have to have a bit more, right? Your floor has to be a bit better than it was tonight.
Well, I don't think we'd hear the GM saying, I don't think we were humble enough to start the season and we would be comfortable with the floor right now. Those, to me, go hand in hand. And he mentioned wanting to play structured, needing to get to their identity and being fast and connected. And also that, you know, some of the newer guys, it's been a slower integration process, but that it's been trending better here recently. But, you know, to me, like, that was an interesting part of what Patrick Alvin said with Murph there in the intermission, that humility was necessary at the beginning of the season. And they warned the players about this, right? Now you've taken that first step. This is going to get more challenging.
Yeah.
Do you humble yourself to the process to keep growing and keep getting better and reaching a new ceiling and also raising the floor as you go along with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you're in a position at least that you have a lot of points and you're moving in the right direction. And I know people have said, hey, the Canucks are back in a playoff spot tonight. The Canucks have really not been out of a playoff spot by point percentage is what you should look at. The Canucks have always been a playoff team ever since the first few games of the season. And even though, you know, by point totals, they were kind of out of the wild card spot, they're back to third in the division. They have two games in hand on Calgary and Vegas, so they can close that gap even further as soon as tomorrow when they take on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Before we get to Kevin Lankinen with Dan Murphy post-game, Bick, a lot of questions about Nils Höglander, of course. And in a game like this, you look at deployment as well. We look at deployment in every single game, obviously. But it stands out when the only player who got less ice time than you was Arshdeep Bains at 6:57, who had stayed in the lineup. Max Sasson is the player who came out. And I kind of thought it was unfair to Sasson, but I get the coach wants to go with a guy he trusts a bit more. But I thought Sasson was good. He got a point in his first game, but nonetheless comes out. And he's the only guy who played less minutes than Nils Höglander, Bick, who came in at just over 7 minutes here tonight, 7:27, and had one more shift than Arshdeep Bains. But very clear that right now the coach is not liking what he's seeing from Nils Höglander.
Yeah, it's tough right now. And I would say, you know, positively, there was one or two moments I saw of Höglander. There was a moment in the defensive zone that you weren't too thrilled with, where he kind of overstick-handled.
Yeah. Well, it's like even when he does something good, there's still something that happens that the coach is going to be like, what are you doing? So he makes a great play, actually, along the boards.
This was in the second period.
Second period, and it's in their own zone. Makes a good play along the boards, takes the puck away from the Bruins player, and instead of... And he has options here. He has options to either throw it off the boards and just put it out. He can actually rim it behind the net because the Canucks had numbers and give it to a teammate. Or he can even make a quick little bump pass to one of his teammates just a little bit ahead of him, just up by the blue line. Like it's like a 4-foot pass, not even, right? And what he decides to do is the worst of all decisions. He's trying to make a drag move around the Boston Bruins player who steals the puck and is lucky that the puck ends up kind of bouncing around. Otherwise, the player would have stolen and gone straight to the net. It's like, you made a good defensive play. You have all these options. Why are you trying to stick handle through a guy? You've already made the play. And turns it over and leads to pressure in their own zone again. Those are moments where the coach is not going to trust you. And I can understand why after moments like that throughout tonight, the coach was reluctant to have him out there in many situations.
And I thought he had a good moment in the first period, which we chatted about in the first intermission, because he did get seven shifts in the first period. And it was four in the second, two in the third. And it was right after the Connor Geeky chance where Susie got that chance. By the way, sorry, Morgan Geeky, not Connor. Susie's play up the wall, hits the linesman, and it was given a chance for Geeky. But eventually it came around, and there was a seam pass that Höglander picks off. You think, all right, that's a nice responsible play in the defensive zone. Now grow upon it. And then second period, the play that you described happens, and then there's not a lot of ice time thereafter.
Exactly. So I think those are the moments where you notice in game two, and you can understand why the coach, and when you look at the raw numbers, he's been on the ice for 13 goals against, 5-on-5, which is more than any forward. And only two players have been on the ice for more 5-on-5 goals, Susie and Myers. And those guys have played 100 minutes more than he has 5-on-5. Höglander's goals against per 60, the worst among all regulars on the Canucks. for a guy down the lineup, that's not good, right? And you can understand why the coach is a bit reluctant at times to give him trust. Jay in New West, in West Van, says, revisionist history going on. Last year when the Canucks were pacing the league, people on your station were saying, team's not for real, it's not sustainable, it's all shooting percentage, it's an aberration. We can't pretend now that this is a far superior team. That was a far superior team to this one. This year's team seems more luck-proof than last year's team, and they don't fall off a cliff if bounces don't go their way. So I get what Jay is saying. You and I actually defended the team quite a bit and said, hey, I know a lot of the stuff about the PDO, I get it, but they've actually been better than people give them credit for with their 5-on-5 game. They're having more breakdowns this year than they did last year. Last year, the Canucks were the best team in defending the rush. This year, they've been one of the worst teams. It's gotten better, but they're still very average at defending the rush. And when it comes to their own play in their own zone, where they're giving up shots and goals, it's worse than it was last year. So I don't even care about the goals. To me, it's like foundationally, defensively, that's where they can still be better. But again, a lot of room for improvement.
I'll try to bring this up here. We're going to hear from players here in just a second. Or is Ian going to join us right now? We're still a couple of
minutes
away. Ian's
going to get it. Yeah, we're going to get to Ian in a couple
of minutes. But I'll try to bring it up here quickly. If there was ever this big of a disparity in high danger chances in a game compared to what we just saw tonight here. So just bear with me here. I'll pull this up from Natural Stat Trick. But I would be hard-pressed to believe that they had a...
By the shot metrics, they're actually pretty close to high danger chances against and four from to where they were last year.
But in one particular game, they had a 7% high danger chance tonight.
Yeah.
At 5-on-5. Yeah. I can't imagine they had a worse one last year.
No, and you look at the blowouts they had at home. They didn't have games like that early last year. They didn't have games where they're getting blown out and it was so bad. So
their lowest mark last year was 19%.
Yeah. So... they haven't been as good defensively. To me, that's the biggest thing, but I think that's something they can absolutely improve on and should improve on as the season goes on. Before we get to IMAC, the guy who stood on his head tonight, made 33 saves for the shutout, it's Kevin Lankinen, and here he is post-game with Dan Murphy.
Kevin Lankinen's had a number of great performances for the Canucks this season. This one could have been his best. Kevin, how did you keep your cool in all those crease-front scrambles and keep an eye on the puck?
Yeah, I think that's part of the battle. Just staying cool, keeping your composure, being focused but relaxed at the same time. And yeah, I think I got a lot of help from the D-Corps tonight with all those scrambles in front. So yeah, it was a great team effort.
You know, it's the first time we've talked post-game. We should let people in a secret. I was going to get you in Florida. Miller scored the overtime winner. Then I was going to get you in Philadelphia. It was Myers' 1,000th game. And then finally I request you in Anaheim, and then Hughes got his 300th career assist. But here you are, 8th consecutive win on the road. What does it feel like to contribute to this success on the road?
No, I mean, it feels great. That's kind of... be my goal all year, coming and be ready for the challenge, whatever they throw at me. And thankful for being able to help the team win here on this little stretch that we have here, and excited to be part of this team.
What's the fit been like for you on a personal level, because you didn't join the team until training camp?
It's been great, yeah. Everybody's been so welcoming here ever since day one. It's been an easy adjustment, I think, and even the coaches and Demko, Silovs have been great dudes, so it's been a really good first quarter.
Congratulations on a brilliant performance.
Thank you.
That is Kevin Lankinen tonight, and obviously very excited with how things have gone for him. And he's a very confident guy, Vic. You know, and you kind of have to be a netminder, but it kind of comes
through. You got to be built different, man.
But honestly, man, you talk about, you know, a lot of people texting in too, saying, you know, this is a guy who's making under $900,000, and how big of a performer has he been? Have the two best signings the Canucks made? Somebody asked, and I'm sorry if I'm not giving you credit for the person texting this in. Tons of texts, and sometimes you kind of lose track, and I can't revisit one of them. But somebody asked, are the two best free agent signings this year Kevin Lankinen, under $900,000, and Kiefer Sherwood at $1.5 million?
Like across the league, best signings?
I mean, I don't know if they are, if we have to go through them. But
yeah,
as far as cheap signings go, I think you can make the case for sure. Like, I can't think of another goaltender who's giving you more value than Lankinen right now.
No.
From free agency.
It's a really good shout. You just did the points per dollar, too.
Yeah.
It's been a fantastic return for those two players.
If you do hits per dollar, it's easily... And that's including a goaltender. That's him. And if you combine both, they're hits for both of them.
Yeah,
that alone is going to be.
It's per dollar.
Spiritual advisor. Okay, I think you guys pretty much summed up the Canucks game. Can we now get a post-game show about Bick's trip to Vegas?
No.
No?
That one's paid content right there.
Saying open a Patreon?
Yes, thanks for saying Patreon.
What? I mean, it's a family-friendly show, Bick. Yeah. We're doing our best.
Oh, man.
You know, we got to be careful. Right. Mark in New West says, we've lost many games we've deserved to win. And that's a thought there. And the Sasson play tonight, somebody asked. I would imagine Sasson gets in tomorrow. I mean, when I'm seeing Hoglander play 727 and Baines playing under 7 minutes, and you're playing back-to-back, I would imagine Sasson gets in. The two roster moves I think we see is Sasson, and I think obviously it's going to be Shelov's getting the start. Do you think there's any chance Desharnais gets in at all for Juulsen, maybe? I like Juulsen on the PK.
I like what Juulsen did tonight, yeah, as you mentioned on the PK. There was it the second period?
Yes, it was the second period.
Where he was so good on just suppressing
opportunities.
And like that's a huge... It was after the DeBrusque goal. And he was trying to take away that backdoor pass. And just his positioning and timing of when to move towards the bumper, take a guy there, not letting a guy cross his face. There was a bit of confusion between him and Suter when Lindholm crashed the net, but he did get to that spot and was able to cap both Lindholm and the guy in the back door as well. So you know, I don't really see a reason to take Juulsen out of the lineup outside of just, hey, like how long is Desharnais going to be out? Do you just get him in for a game? Sure. But as far as on merit, to me, it makes sense for Juulsen to be back in.
Yeah, so I would expect, obviously, Shelov's and Sasson to get in. That might be the only two moves. But to break the game down, the man was in Boston at the scene of a smash and grab by the Canucks. You watch him on TV. You read him on digital. You're about to hear him on radio. He is Ian McIntyre.
Darn you, Satyar Shah. Smash and grab is in the second paragraph of my story, which I haven't yet filed. Now, when I do, people are going to think I took it from you.
No. People will not remember that I said that. The things I say are far less memorable than the things that you say.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It is a borderline cliche, and you know how I feel about those.
Yes.
But I think I'm going to use it because there's certain cliches that they stand alone. Like, what else could you use to describe it that's better than smash and grab? You can say they stole a win, or it was, you know, call the cops when they've been robbed. But you know, it was a remarkable performance by Lankin. And what I find so interesting, because I'm fascinated by, you know, the human dynamic of things. So here's a guy who was brought in essentially to be the third goalie and maybe compete with Shelov's and see how many starts he could get, Kevin Lankinen. He, in the first week of the season, takes the starting job away. And now for the last, I'm trying to think in my head how long it's been, 3 weeks, he's been sharing practices with Thatcher Demko, knowing that Demko's getting closer, knowing that he's, you know, the Vezina Trophy runner-up. He's a huge star in this league, and he's Vancouver's number one goalie and will be when he gets back. And yet Kevin Lankinen has sustained his game and has not flinched. Doesn't seem distracted by anything. And, you know, what he's done in these first 20 games is ensure that he's going to be part of the conversation for the next 60. Whenever Thatcher Demko comes back, Kevin Lankinen is not going anywhere. He's been their most valuable player so far, not named Quinn Hughes.
Yeah, and you know, we were chatting earlier too, just of you know, what a reward this is for Rick Tocchet to, when Thatcher Demko is fully healthy, just to be relaxed and be like, you know what, I feel comfortable with what happens in our crease, and also they can plot out a different plan to bring Thatcher Demko along at their own speed and the speed that makes the most sense because they have Lankinen.
Yeah, and I would say it goes even further than that. It gives them a much better option now with Artur Šilovs, who's still their goalie of the future. It's just the future's not now. A lot of people, including myself, thought maybe his future was now, and especially these first couple of months of the year when Demko has been missing, these were supposed to be Shelov's starts. Well, they've become Lankinen starts, but Shelov's can still go and get work in on his game and develop and play some games in the NHL and some games in the AHL. So that, I think that's a highly beneficial thing as well, rather than having a guy who's 23 and had looked like he's ready, but now obviously needs to work a little bit on his game and hasn't had a chance to play very much. So it becomes this difficult cycle where, you know, you need to play better, but if you're not playing well enough, you're not going to get chances to play. So I think on all levels, this is good. I think Tocchet is incredibly grateful that Patrick Alvin and their scouting staff, because they've been on Lankanen for a while, going back into the summer, I think he's incredibly grateful that this guy landed on his doorstep at the end of training camp in Penticton, because you wonder where they would be right now without him. I can guarantee you they would not be 11-6-3 through 20 games.
No, and, you know, like Freddie, one of our texters, said the Canucks are only 2 points behind where they were last year. They had 27 points after 20 games. They have 25 points this year. They were 13-6-1 last year. They're 11-6-3 this year. The big discrepancy is they've given up far more goals this year than they've scored. And as far as how the Canucks played in front of their netminder tonight, you were there, you watched it. What did you make of their overall team game? Positive for how they battled and blocked shots, or did they get lucky because of Lankanen playing as well as he did?
No, I don't think it's luck. I don't think that would be fair to characterize it that way, but they certainly were outplayed and need to be a lot better. I actually thought through 40 minutes it was fine, because, you know, the shots weren't flattering and the analytics weren't flattering. But I thought the Canucks were kind of playing this low event hockey. You know, and at that point in the first two periods, you could count, say, the number of grade A chances that Boston had on one hand. You know, the Pastrnak breakaway, a couple others, the turnover, Soucy, where it hit the linesman and bounced into the Canucks slot early on. So, you know, that's not bad on the road if the team doesn't have its A game, which clearly it didn't. I'm not sure it even had its B game tonight. But when the team's not going, if you're just kind of playing this low event hockey and relying on your structure and then being confident that you're going to find a way if you get a chance to score a goal. And that's precisely what happened with the Canucks. Got a power play on a dodgy call. But Marchand's gotten away with all kinds of stuff over the years, so I don't mind a dodgy call against him. you know, scored on it. I thought they were fine through two periods, but in the third period, you know, the Bruins really stepped up their intensity. They got a lot more pucks and bodies to the net, and the Canucks didn't respond. You know, they kind of just sagged and were putting way too much on Lankanen's plate. That said, they blocked 28 shots and they were battling and they were, you know, especially that space in front of the net, they really dug in there. And, you know, Boston is a humongous team. I was amazed when I looked at them on paper, and I don't know if they're the biggest team in the NHL, but I suspect they are, because their average is 208 pounds, and the Canucks are like 192. So they're a huge team. They got to the net. I thought Vancouver really battled in front to do what they could to help Lankanen. But at the end of the night, I mean, it's a story in Boston, not a great story for the Bruins, but it's a story in Boston that Jake DeBrusk came back here and scored the game winner after spending the last seven seasons with this team. It's the story everywhere else in Canuck Nation is Kevin Lankanen and the job he did tonight. And for the most part, the job he's done all season.
Don't look now, Ian. They have goals in eight of their last 10 games on the power play. It's clicking at 27.5%. And it's been, you know, 1-for-5, 1-for-3, 1-for-3, 1-for-2, 1-for-6. Obviously tonight, 1-for-2. But it's been 10 games here, a nice little stretch. And I prefer stretches like that where it's just like 1-for-3. I can live with that. I don't like the 2-for-3s and 0-for-6s nights. It's been kind of doing its job here, even though we might have frustrations in the moment, but it has produced.
Yeah, well, maybe that's market correction or law of averages or whatever you want to call it, because I think at times when it wasn't producing early in the year, it looked far more dangerous than it has looked in some of these games. Like, I didn't think the power play tonight really looked good at all. I don't think they pressed enough and created enough pressure, but they get the goal, right? They get a puck on net and a deft deflection by Garland, and it falls to DeBrusque, who you've probably heard the audio. He said post game that, you know, normally those were the ones on the review. Those goals always went against him. So now he finally got a break on the review, and it's ironic how that's happened now that he switched teams. But it only happens on the road for him, by the way. It doesn't happen in Vancouver. This guy is a road warrior, but he's yet to make a dent on home ice. But if he continues to play this way, DeBrusque, on the road, he's gonna help their power play, and he's gonna help them win games because he's scoring goals. Yeah, the power play, I think right now it's too big a loss having JT Miller, because it's not just, okay, he's one of five who would normally be on there, but he's the guy that really, the power play has funneled through for the last couple of years. Yes, Quinn Hughes is the maestro at the point, and he's dishing pucks and sort of determining where the puck's going to go and where the pressure will originate from. But most of the time, it's Miller on the left side skating downhill, either shooting or making plays, either to the bumper or backdoor across the ice to Pettersson. And right now, with him away, and, you know, they're kind of in flux, right? And and Besser's coming back. And I know this sounds like me complaining about it when you teed it up for me to say something nice about the power play. It is scoring. It is scoring, and that is nice. Opportunism is one of the most important elements of any power play, and certainly that was the case tonight. But I think they can get a lot more dangerous than what they've been, and I think they'll start to work their way back towards that as they get more used to one another. Brock Besser coming back tonight obviously is a huge piece in that equation, and I think that it'll probably continue to get more dangerous. But I guess to your point, Vic, if it looks sort of inert for a minute and a half and then they get a puck on net and score a goal, that's fine too. That'll work.
Ian, there was some great work done by you today. The article on sportsnet.ca speaking to Patrick Alvin, providing a bit of an update on JT Miller's situation and Thatcher Demko's situation. Demko, obviously, it looks positive that he's going to come back. And, you know, JT, of course, he mentions he's proud of him for taking this step to take care of himself and his family and expects them to come back as a better teammate. And, you know, you're there on the road trip right now, too. And Thatcher Demko, obviously, they're not giving a date on it, but would you be surprised if we see him play here before the road trip's over?
Yeah, I was. It's funny because at the start of the trip, I know, you know, from that excellent availability that Demko did with us in Vancouver last week, I know that he, in his own words, wants to put his knee through hell. Like, he wants to work it and work it and work it and make sure that when he comes back, he's not back for 2 games or 2 weeks and then it's sore. So now he needs to take time off. So when this road trip started, I thought, well, Demko's going to practice all out all through this trip, but I'd be surprised if we see him because he wants to put in so much work and he wants to be more than ready when he comes back. He doesn't want to be ready just for the first game when he comes back. He wants to be ready for 40 games or 50 games, whatever it is that he might play. Well, he's not going to play 50 of, yeah, of 60, but he could play 40. So I didn't think we were going to see him, but he just has looked so good in practice. I think it's killing Rick Tocchet at times, although he's happy to have Kevin Lankin, but I think it's killing him to see how good Demko looks in practice, and yet there's no target for a return. But it just seems like, and Patrick Alvin, when I talked to him, he used the term like getting close to being game time decisions. So when you're a game time decision, all those game time decisions aren't going to go the other way. Eventually, and I think soon, the game time decision will be that Thatcher Demko is going to play. Is he going to play in the next four? well, he's not playing tomorrow. That'll be Shelov's. And so that leaves three more, still half a trip. I think he will. I think he'll play. I think he'll get a game before this trip is over. I'm not going to be stunned. I'm going to hedge my bets on the answer. But yeah, it seems to be trending that way. It feels like he's really close.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. Ian, great stuff as always, man. We always appreciate your time, and get to Pittsburgh safely. And we look forward to chatting with you tomorrow after, we hope, another good Canucks performance on the road.
Yeah, well, we'll look forward to that. Eight in a row.
Yeah.
Just quietly. It's kind of snuck up on everyone, hasn't it?
Eight
straight road wins.
Well, it's so different from their home record, right? And that's why it's so jarring when you look at both of them. You know, great home, great road record, and poor home record so far.
Yeah, but overall, as your texter pointed out, they're almost on pace with that 109-point team again.
Yeah, with a lot of room to improve, so it's a real positive so far. Ian, great as always, man. I look forward to reading your latest on Sportsnet.ca as well.
All right, thanks. Good night, fellas.
Good night. That's Ian McIntyre. All right, we got to run because there's a post show coming up. Josh Elliott-Wolf, so stay on, on the radio, on your stream. There's a lot more Canucks content coming up on the other side. It's Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar. Special thanks to Fast Eddie Gregory on the boards. We'll be back tomorrow for pregame officially at 3:30, but we'll be going with Canucks Central at 2 p.m., so a lot coming up tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Thanks for participating. Be well tonight and continue listening on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.